Here's a claim being circulated on Twitter or X by Elon Musk, who posted, quote, the long-term goal of the so-called border security bill is enabling illegals to vote. It will do the total opposite of securing the border, unquote. Now, I know that Elon Musk is not an expert on illegal immigration or the border, but he has a huge megaphone.
He does.
Explain what he's talking about here. Is he wrong?
Well, I think he needs to go back to doing the 2 million Teslas that are currently being recalled right now to be able to focus in on that. No, it's not focused on trying to be able to get more illegals to vote. That's absurd in the process on it. It is against the law for anyone that is not a citizen of the United States to be able to vote in the United States in any federal election. That remains so.
That was like probably one of the worst answers that I think Lankford could have given. And I understand, and we're going to talk about this, that Mike Lee was running defense for him last night on Twitter. I don't know if you saw, he was saying, well, you know, he's a good guy, all this stuff. And I'm not on board with that right now because this bill is so bad. And Lankford got played like a fiddle. And he got played like a fiddle on purpose. And then the people who played him ran and left him high and dry. But see, that's kind of the danger of going along thinking that, you know, allowing yourself to be played is that, you know, at some point the people who are doing it are going to leave you. And that's what ended up happening to him in the Senate. So welcome to the program. Dana Loesch here. We are waiting for Biden to speak. He's going to talk about the border bill. And because I need to also be able to hear it, so because it's part of what we do, we are going to take it. I can't imagine that he's going to talk for any great period of time. And I can't imagine that he's going to take any questions either because, hi, it's Biden. So he's going to talk for a short period of time. We're going to take it so we can know what he's talking about because he's directly addressing this border bill and everything that this fight that they're having with it. And so that's what we're starting the show out with today. So again, welcome to the program. Dana Loesch with you, top of this first hour. And the fight, they say the bill is dead, and it might as well, I mean, it for all intents and purposes, it is. But never put anything past them, because we're still not at that point yet. We're still not at that point totally yet. So here's the lay of the land. I've read the thing. I read it. The 370-page bill. I've read the bill. And as soon as it came out, I didn't want to just go over the excerpts of it. I wanted to read it. And I was even marking it up. And it is as bad as they say it is. It absolutely is. There's no way around it. And I want to address really quickly, and I made mention of this last night on Jesse Waters' program, because they asked if I would come on and talk about, you know, this border bill, this border battle. Here's because the Border Patrol Union came out and they endorsed this bill. And the left is using it. The left that has for how many years now told you that there's no crisis at the border. The same left that said there's no crisis at the border. The same left that said back in December when there were over 290,000 illegal immigrants crossing the border, they said there's no crisis at the border. The left, when there were thousands of people standing there at Eagle Pass waiting to be processed, said that there's no crisis at the border. The left, when children were being trafficked over the border, Democrats had said there's no crisis at the border. When people were drowning in the Rio, still not even that could convince Democrats to make the phrase with their mouths that there was a crisis at the border. But now suddenly, they're saying there's a crisis at the border. And who is it that is unwilling to help? It is these Republicans. Suddenly, when it is at the most advantageous to Democrats, have they now finally said that there's a crisis at the border? Now, this is not something that you should be celebrating, the fact that they finally recognize the correct way to speak about the crisis at the border by identifying it as the crisis at the border. They're only saying this because they helped set Republicans up. And Lankford made it easy for them. Good guy or not, that's irrelevant to the fact that it is true that he made it easier for them with this bill. Now, you have, as I said, Border Patrol that came out and endorsed a portion of this bill. And the bill, it should note, and again, we're going to go over parts of it. We talked about it yesterday, but because there's a lot of misinformation out there, and now all the text is out, the Border Patrol only endorsed the portion that dealt specifically with illegal alien crossings. Because there's a lot in this bill. If you've read the bill, And there are times, sidebar, that I understand you're busy and you're working and maybe you work late and maybe you're working a second job because this Biden economy is horrible. I understand. Because government makes it particularly onerous on people on purpose. They want to overwhelm you so you cannot monitor what your government is doing. But you should make your best effort to know what your government is doing because it is still your responsibility as a free citizen. It's 370 pages. It's not a fun read. It's ridiculous. I mean, there's stuff about Space Force in here. There's stuff about, I mean, there's a ton of different stuff in here. There's a ton of stuff in here. The Taiwanese funding, Israeli funding, Ukrainian funding, which we talked about yesterday. And we talked about how I don't care if Marine Corps spending is lower than other branches. The fact that we're still sending more to Ukraine than we're spending on our own Marine Corps, that's stupid. And also in here on page 212, and I'm scrolling down through my own PDF copy, which I opened into my own PDF and I marked it up in my Premiere and then saved it again. It gets on page 212. This is the magic page where it gets into the crossings. And this whole area is what Border Patrol is talking about. Now, Border Patrol, as I said, they have come out and they've specifically endorsed the crossing portion of this bill, which is, you know, gets around, you know, the 204 page mark. You have to realize something about Border Patrol. They are desperate. They have been made desperate by the party controlling the White House. Border Patrol has been made desperate by the Democrats controlling the Senate. Border Patrol is desperate right now. They do not have enough people on the ground. They do not have enough people to staff the crossings. They do not have enough people to deal with the people who are illegally crossing, to say nothing of the gotaways. They do not have the resources, the capacity, the bandwidth. They will take anything right now. No matter how bad it is overall, they will take everything. So the portion that they endorsed specifically is on the border security. Now, while Democrats are out there parroting this as a win, you need to realize that Border Patrol didn't say this was a good bill. In fact, the official wording was, quote, better than the status quo. Now, when we are looking at a bill, and this is a union, unions do what unions do. The union is looking at the stuff that affects the union. That's what unions do. They don't care. They haven't weighed in about the funding for Taiwan or Israel or Ukraine. They haven't even weighed in about where the power over their border security lies. They just specifically weighed in on like four pages. And that's to be expected. It's the National Border Patrol Council, the union. They say that specific part is better than the status quo. The bill that we look at, because we have to live under all of it, is garbage. I don't think there is one redeeming part in the bill. I understand that the Border Patrol is endorsing about 4 to 5 pages of it, but I'm looking at far more than that. One of the most dangerous aspects of this bill is the removal of power from different circuit courts or different circuit courts and district courts, giving everything to the leftist DC district, giving all decisions about asylum to Alejandro Mayorkas. The centralization of power, that is, I think, the most dangerous aspect of this bill. And it is not a portion of the bill that Border Patrol weighed in on. Because it's the Border Patrol union. They are specifically looking at what they can and can't do. Now, Democrats will have you believe that the little bit of authority that they have increased with Border Patrol takes away from all of the other failings of this bill. They will have you believe that allowing Border Patrol to be able to detain a certain number of individuals. And that number, by the way, is forever. It's completely arbitrary. It's up to the sole discretion of Biden and Mayorkas. So you take that worth a grain of sand you think it's worth. But they think a little bit, they're saying that a little bit of authority on this area is better than what they don't have now. And Democrats will have you believe that that erases all of the other failings of this bill. You cannot take just a portion of this bill, ladies and gentlemen. We're not talking about, okay, well, we'll take this part of the bill, but this stuff you can leave off. Now, one of the things that I heard bring up, one of the Border Patrol reps, I think it was Brandon Judd, who was saying that, or not Brandon Judd, who was it? Maybe it was Lankford. It was some lawmaker who was saying that, you know, we haven't even gotten to the amendment portion of this yet. We've got to get to the amendment portion. You know, we're talking about killing this thing before we can even get to the amendment portion. Ladies and gentlemen, we've got about 2+ seats in the House. How far do you think we're going to get on the amendment portion? How far did we get on the amendment portion when it came to the budget bill? How far did we get on the amendment portion when it came to the time that we sent billions of dollars to Ukraine, or the other time that we sent billions of dollars to Ukraine, or the other time that we sent billions of dollars to Ukraine, or that other time that we sent billions of dollars to Ukraine? How far did we get on that amendment portion? They will have you put hope in outcomes you already know are determined and not in your favor. It should not even be a starting point. On page 212 of this bill, and like I said, I actually printed it out. Well, not the whole thing, right? I printed out this particular page because I was talking about it last night on Fox. And I said, look, we're talking about this many people coming into contact with the border. Now, they're trying to get stupid with you on the rhetoric. And this is something we're going to deep dive in as well, because apparently not everyone is a big nerd and took rhetoric classes and logic and all of that stuff. Because you're a normal person, so don't beat yourself up about it. You're a normal person living your normal person life. You're not a Martian. But they said that during 7 consecutive calendar days, page 212, subsection 4, there is an average of 5,000 or more aliens who are encountered each day. This is when they're talking about maybe they'll activate the border emergency authority. Maybe Mayorkas will do it. But they got to come in contact with 5,000 or more aliens a day. Who's to say that they won't sparsely spread Border Patrol agents around the border to limit what kind of interactions and encounters they have? I mean, it's worded like trash because it's trash. I don't even want to get to the amendment process. You're bringing to me a turd and you're telling me that I need to just take it to the amendment process and polish it up? That's what I'm hearing from these people who say, well, you can't kill it before the amendment process. It shouldn't even be proposed with numbers like this. It's an insult to the integrity of our republic, and it's an insult to every voter whose taxpayer dollars have been siphoned away from domestic policy and sent towards this exercise in partisan vanity, which we call border failure. So you can trot out whatever union you want to, but this is we the people, and you are betrayed by this proposal. And after headlines, I'm going to explain to you exactly how Democrats set you up, how they set you up to have a big fail in November, and we're going to talk about specifically the Republicans that were too dumb to avoid stepping into this trap. You want to make sure that, you know, you've got some safety. The gold IRA field can seem super confusing about finding when you're looking for like a precious metals company that you can trust. And so Goldco is a good one to turn to, because everybody knows that wasteful government spending and printing money, that's exactly how we get inflation. So you can do what I've done, and I can add gold and silver as a hedge against inflation with Goldco. So right now you can get their free 2024 gold kit, and you can learn how to possibly get $10,000 in bonus silver, which is nice. And Goldco is it's a quality company, and one of their most unique qualities is their education first position. And they really provide a lot of information to help you manage this whole field. It offers a one-of-a-kind gold IRA kit for individual buyers. It explains the economy, how all the gold IRAs work, and they want to make it easy for you to get the benefit of owning like actual physical gold or silver. I mean, this is an overall part. It can be an overall part of your retirement and savings strategy. They have unmatched customer service, zero complaint record, first rate service, no pressure. And you can ask about their highest buyback guarantee as well. So protect your family's financial future and freedom. And get started today at DanaLikesGold.com, because I do. Get your free gold kit from Goldco and learn how to get $10,000 in bonus silver. DanaLikesGold.com.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Now they're trying to tell us that the hurricanes are getting so intense that they need to propose a Category 6. This is so stupid, because nobody's ever There isn't a cat. There isn't a hurricane Cat 5 that's gotten to the end of the Cat 5 measurement. They barely get into the Cat 5. It's the five-step Saffir-Simpson scale. I'm going to pretend that I knew that before today. And they said that any, you know, sustained winds, 157, blah, blah, blah. This is goofy. They're just trying to fear-monger you about, again, it's not climate change. We're actually going into a period of global cooling. I would love climate change. I hate cold weather. I hate snow. I hate all of it. Let's see. The Super Bowl advertisers, they say, are poised to play things safe because everyone's terrified of a social media backlash. Apparently, though, there are two right-leaning entities that actually were given the ability to purchase Super Bowl ad time. I had that in our headlines that I sent out this morning. But yeah, apparently they're trying to play it real safe, all their advertising, because they don't want to make anyone mad. I mean, risk-taking is usually where you see, you know, this in ads. It's Super Bowls, usually where you see it, but I don't know. They're bringing back the Clydesdales to make everybody forget about that one horse man that they used. We'll see. A Tesla driver was pulled over after being a super dork and wearing his new Apple Vision glasses on the highway. I mean, it is one of the dumbest things I've ever seen. We got to have a conversation about how all of this is stuff that we already went through in the aughts. The glasses, and then everyone's like, oh, Meta. Meta is just Second Life. And if you've ever watched the Daniel videos on YouTube, that's just nerd town. It's sad, nerd, gross town. That's all it is. Anyway, this guy filmed himself getting pulled over while driving and wearing a $3,500 Apple VR headset because he's an absolute doucher. And of course, his username is Dante. So he's so original. He also gets artisanal bread. He's so original. NASA announces a new super Earth exoplanet orbits in a habitable zone only 137 light years away. We'll get right on going there. That sounds wonderful. Yeah, and young adults are having heart attacks more often. It's definitely not because of the Axvay. What? Stick with us because we got a lot more on the way. When emergencies strike, the last thing you want to worry about is where your next meal comes from. That's where Wise Food Storage comes in. Right now, buy one, get one free discount. 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com. Type Dana in the search bar to access those exclusive deals on Wise Food Storage's best-selling products. That 72-hour food kit. Buy one, get $100 value for $50. 11,120 total calories in each kit. High-quality U.S. ingredients. Freeze-dried, dehydrated, easy to prepare. Just add water. They also have their heirloom seed vault. Seeds are non-hybrid, non-GMO, open-pollinated heirloom varieties. Each kit contains more than 4,500 seeds with a 10-year shelf life. Order yours today at wisefoodstorage.com and be prepared. Type Dana in the search bar for exclusive deals like the buy one, get one free and the 72-hour food kit. Visit wisefoodstorage.com, code Dana, Dana in the search bar.
Does our border have turnstiles and velvet ropes? Some Republicans are touting a bill with a limit of 5,000 migrants per day. That's still 1.8 million per year. An amusement park doesn't let more people in when it hits capacity. Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Looking for the drive-through version of the Dana Show? Check out the best highlights from every show and Dana's Absurd Truth podcast, posted daily from the Dana Show.
I have children who attend schools who have soccer games, y'all. You know, you all are asking me as if I'm not a parent in this city. I get it. I'm mayor. I get it, but you're asking me to give you a date, and I have to court. Do you understand that you have not had a mayor like me? I get that. I have a wife. Crazy. I have children. They have schedules.
And
plus, we still have public safety that we have to address. And? We still have the unhoused that we have to address.
You mean your
I still
job?
Have a budget that I have to address, and I'm doing all of that with a black wife raising three black children on the west side of the city of Chicago.
What the hell does them being black have to do with you not doing your job? Possible. You racist POS. That's the racist, lazy Chicago mayor, Brandon Johnson. He sounds like a welfare queen more than he sounds like an elected official sitting there saying he can't deal with the border crisis that's affecting Chicago because he has a wife and she's just not a wife. She's a black wife, which what does that mean? And I don't give a rat's ass if she's got two heads. And I don't care how many kids you got. What does that have to do with you not being able to do your J-O-B? What does that have to do with you not being able to serve the people in Chicago, Mayor Johnson? You know how many other people are able to go and do their jobs every single day and they've got spouses and kids? I mean, you're not much of a man if you have to throw your wife and kids under the bus as excuse for you being unable to do your job. That doesn't sound like much of a male to me. That sounds like a guy who got some chromosomes, but he doesn't have the man to go with it. Man, what an embarrassment, Brandon Johnson. If I was his wife, I would have walked up there and slapped his fat backside right on camera. I'd have knocked a tooth out saying something like that to the people of Chicago who elected you. Oh, I can't do my job because even with my nannies and my security and all my staff, I got my wife and kids and I'm just too important to actually do the job you elected me to do. I mean, yes, I told everyone that we were a sanctuary city and yes, I campaigned on it, but I can't answer these tough questions about the border crisis. So I'm going to throw my wife and kids out there. Oh, I can't do my job because my wife. I don't think your wife is preventing you to do your job. I think you being lazy and incompetent is what's preventing you from doing your job, Mayor Brandon Johnson. Golly, what a pitiful excuse for a male. See, men like that are how you get feminists. Progressive men like that are exactly how you get feminists. You got a progressive man that goes up there and can't do his job and then throws his wife and children under the bus as the reason as to why he can't do his job. He acts like he is so put upon. I see you. Doesn't look like you've been missing a meal. I see your clothes. Doesn't look like you're missing a paycheck either. But how many of your constituents are missing both meals and paychecks because of your policy? Good heavens. If it wasn't for the FCC. It's a problem, though. But no, like I said, that's exactly progressive males created feminism. Because they didn't know how to treat ladies. And they made ladies, some of them bitter and resentful. And then that's how feminism was born. That's exactly it. So never, ever. I know it's like hip for some, stupid young dudes who I don't think all of their beans have dropped yet. To pretend that, it's tough to be, it's macho to kind of to cop to this position as it relates to women and everything else. That's not a cool thing because that's a progressive male thing. And progressive males created feminism. Progressive males created first wave. Progressive males created second wave. And progressive males not only created third wave, they're going along with it and uniquing themselves. It's amazing. But that's how you get it. Now, speaking of the border and the border issue at hand. This, as we were talking about this bill, I told you that the most dangerous thing about this bill is the usurpation of power. The power that they are taking away from other districts or other circuits and taking it all the way to the leftist DC court. And that's what's happening in this bill. It's bad. Also in this bill, Texas is stripped of power. You wouldn't be able to challenge provisions in your local federal court as you are able to do now. You wouldn't be able, like Texas filed suit and has been dealing and has been litigating a lot of this. They take that power from the states. This is the stuff that the Border Patrol Union hasn't weighed in on. And by the way, according to Julio Rosas, Border Patrol is in an uproar. One source told him, quote, the border deal is a disaster, and we are wondering what Brandon Judd, head of the BP union, sold us out for. None of the Border Patrol agents are happy with his statement, end quote. Now, again, they only endorsed part of it. But I need you to understand, before you get mad at the Border Patrol union, and I normally, when I defend people on certain issues like this, There's a reason for it. So please listen. This is the Border Patrol Union. Brandon Judd is doing his job because the Border Patrol Union, what does the union care for? Working conditions. Pay. The care of its members. That's it. Beyond that, they don't care. This is their sole focus. They are siloed in their sight. So don't get mad at Border Patrol. As much as you disagree with it, Brandon Judd's doing his job. Yes, the bill is trash. It is hot, sweet garbage. But Judd is doing his job as the Border Patrol union head. That's what they do. If they weren't doing that, then what are those people paying their dues for? So don't get mad at them. It's not their problem. They didn't ask to be put in this position. Chuck Schumer put them in this position. And some Republicans with Schumer and the Democrats. So let's talk about this for a moment. How did we start this program out? We recounted all of the times that Democrats refused to say that there was a crisis at the border, correct? There's a crisis at the border. There's a crisis. Oh, no, there's not. They used every other. I mean, it was Olympic level rhetoric that they engaged in, the semantics that they engaged in to try to weave around having to say the words, quote, border crisis. But now that it's advantageous for them to do so, as is always the case. Oh, now, yeah, it's a crisis. And look, we offered a bill and look at this. These Republicans, they just didn't want to take it. They didn't want to pass it. They set Republicans up. And Mitch McConnell helped. And James Lankford helped. Now, they pushed James Lankford, this milquetoast nice guy from Oklahoma out there, to help sponsor and write some of this garbage. I guess he thought that, you know, they were going to help him when it got tough. Oh, hell no, because Mitch McConnell was saying, oh, we're thinking about killing it. He already said that last night. He told the press that last night. He ran away, and that's what he does. Oh, he's crafty. Mitch McConnell is one of the, you know how I always say that women can be the most mischievous, scheming creatures on God's green earth? There's women, and then there's Mitch McConnell. And he takes the cake. I've never met a lady that is as scheming as Mitch McConnell is. That's a whole different level. I mean, you had to know this. And sometimes I like it when he does it, when it benefits me and you, the voter. But when it screws us, I don't like it and I get mad, such as the case now. And so he ran from it. Now Lankford's out there holding this thing, you know, like a wet bag. Nobody wants it. It's bad. And he's out there trying to defend it. And he's doing it horribly because he doesn't have the rhetorical flourish. He doesn't have the charisma. And he doesn't have, quite honestly, the political capital to do it. He is not a guy that can move the needle in the Senate. Never has been. I'm not being mean. That's just the way it is. And they, Republicans walked in to this trap. Republicans had the Democrats on this dead to rights. And now look at it. Now we're fighting over narrative. How do you lose that something that easy of a win? It is truly amazing. And now you got all these Republicans out there scared half to death about messaging. Oh my gosh, they just don't want to talk about it. They're terrified. And you have some of them out there who don't care. People like Chip Roy. They're going to tell you exactly what they think. Everyone else out there is trying to say, well, you know, it's a bad bill, but no, there's no but. Oh, well, you know, you shouldn't kill it before it gets to the amendment part. Hold up. When you talk about the amendment portion, you're talking about negotiations, sir. I'm not going to negotiate with us. This is not a starting point. 5,000 a day. Yes, I've read the bill. Oh, well, they didn't say they'd admit him in. They called it encounters. Don't pretend we are stupid with this rhetorical garbage. What do encounters, what has that translated to traditionally for the past 6 years? Admittances. They encounter, they go in, they process, they get a date that they never show up for, and they're allowed into the interior of the country. So do not take that stupid brain dead argument from anyone who A, hasn't read this bill, or B, hasn't extricated their head from their backside long enough to pay attention to what's been happening with this story. 5,000 each day. That is, no. Why are you, I don't like the word encounter, and that's another whole bunch of Olympic level rhetoric, encounter. There shouldn't be a single damn encounter. Did you hear what else is happening at the border? Pet dogs traveling thousands of miles to the U.S.-Mexico border, reports New York Post, are being cruelly abandoned by their illegal alien owners in a new crisis. They're dragging their animals. I don't believe that they don't realize that animals are subject to strict rules for entry at the border. I don't care if you live in the foothills of Machu Picchu. I don't care. Everybody knows that you can't just bring an animal into a foreign country. They're not allowed into the federal processing centers, and people have been ditching, abandoning their dogs in the harsh climate at the southern border. The Post itself, their reporters spotted dozens of dogs, now strays, wandering on both sides of the border, abandoned like piles of clothes and shoes, just discarded along the banks. Many were injured, many were terrified, and they flinched even when just being passed a bowl of water. And the majority were starving and reduced to scrounging for food wherever possible. They're dirty, they're injured, some of them are limping. And members of our National Guard, God love them, have been feeding and caring for as many as they can when they encounter them. But it's a huge problem. And several animal rescue groups have launched missions to help local law enforcement with these dogs. And they tried to reunite. But most of the people who drag these poor animals through this harsh climate all this way are gone, long gone. It's one of the saddest things I've seen. These animals left to fend for themselves in an area where you've got coyotes and everything else. And they're wandering along highways. They're getting hit on the roads. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible. And they're not able to even say how many animals have been turned away or what the fates are. They said that one of the guard members, who's also a combat veteran, said the conditions are heartbreaking. And they said that there's so many emaciated and starved dogs living in the area. Maybe PETA could stop with their shocker ads and actually do something to help animals at the border if they cared as much. I'll tell you right now, I don't want any cruel, inhumane trash that would do this to an animal. I don't want them in my country. And I'm for all harsh methods available to deter them from doing so. We don't want that. This is horrific. I've used Patriot Mobile since their inception. I've known them for so long. When one of my sons actually was coached by the guy in baseball who founded Patriot Mobile. And we were the first radio program to ever work with Patriot Mobile. And we're proud to see how far they've grown and love my service, too. Like I said, when I was in Italy on vacation, I was still telling people that they were wrong on the internet. And I had no interruption. I had great service. And you can do it as well and save some money in this era of Biden inflation. They're the only Christian conservative wireless provider for the past decade in the United States. And when you switch, you're working with not only a 100% U.S.-based customer service team, but you're also receiving dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. So you're getting the best service in your area, but you're not funding the far left. And you can get free activation using code Dana. Keep your phone, keep your number, or upgrade. The choice is yours. They make it easy. Visit PatriotMobile.com/Dana or call 972-PATRIOT and use promo code Dana to get free activation. Make the switch today. That's PatriotMobile.com/Dana, 972-PATRIOT.
Don't let FOMO get the best of you. Stay in the loop and ahead of the curve by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Like sands through the hourglass, so are the days of the United States.
People have pled guilty. You know, right after I was elected, I went to what they call a G7 meeting, all the NATO leaders. And it was in the south of England. And I sat down and I said, America's back. And Mitterrand from France looked at me and said, said, you know, how long are you back for?
What? I think he's talking about Emmanuel Macron. I think that's what it was. Because Mitterrand wasn't from Germany, but okay. How do you forget stuff like that? Like important things. You forget world leaders. It's not like you're coming across like a million leaders from France and all this stuff. He's supposed to speak about this border bill. He's supposed to speak about this border bill. And I don't.
He was supposed to 40 minutes ago.
Well, he's late. I mean, it's Joe Biden. Joe Biden's never on time for anything. So, you know, it's not totally surprising. But I got a lot of questions. What? I just don't. There's nothing he's going to be. He's going to try to talk people into this thing. It's not going to work. If he doesn't stick to script, it's going to be a disaster. Like this was a disaster. Whenever he does that thing, and he always has a tell. He always turns and extends his hand, and then he raises his face up as high as it goes. And then he tries to like tell you this anecdotal story. and it's always bad. There was this, where was it? He was speaking in, was it KJP or one of his other staffers sitting in the front row and the camera just caught them kind of squeezing their eyes shut real quick for a second?
I think that was Blinken. Didn't Blinken
do that? Maybe it was Blinken.
When he called someone a dictator, it was just
something like that. And
yeah, Xi Jinping.
And he just kind of squeezed his eyes together a little. Oh my gosh, it was funny. There are a couple of little moments like that. So we're talking about this border bill, and it's bad. And we dissected and deconstructed everything that you would want to know about the Border Patrol's remarks on it. So if you missed that, that's in our first hour. So if you go to the podcast archives, it's going to be in the first hour, and you're going to want to know it. Because, you know, they're a Border Patrol union. They're just specifically looking out for members, and they only reacted to one particular portion of this bill. They didn't react to the funding, the foreign funding, and they didn't react to the usurpation of district control or circuit court control or state sovereignty. I mean, this bill strips away the state's ability to challenge this. Anything with this. We're going to talk more about that coming up into our second hour. And also, Premier League soccer. Can you imagine if you're a baseball fan or a football fan, you say something that your team doesn't like, and then they ban you from going to the games? Let me tell you what happened to this one lady coming up. Stick with us. We have more to come, folks, as we wrap up this second hour of our broadcast. And, of course, you know, we couldn't do that without awesome people that help make it possible. One of those, veteran-owned company. And they do support your two-way rights. I've had them on the show before. They agree with me. And I've asked them about it repeatedly. It's a veteran-owned company, Black Rifle Coffee Company. Veteran-owned, and they employ veterans and active-duty military members. And you can become a member of the Black Rifle Coffee Club and get 30% off your first subscription order with code Dana. I have been turned into a spoiled brat by this coffee. Kane notes, I'd never stopped complaining the entire time that we were in Vegas. Everybody else's coffee was heinous. It made my soul cry. It was horrible. I don't even know if souls can do that. I think they can, but it was. And I missed my Black Rifle coffee. They have the best brews. High quality coffee roasted right here in America, delivered to your door. And here's the thing. You can choose your whatever type of roast you want. Quantity, frequency of shipment, and get it delivered with free shipping right to your door. You will save more money on this coffee than the bougie brand that you're going to find in the supermarket, I promise you. And every time you shop with Black Rifle Coffee, you're helping fuel their mission to support veteran and first responder causes. So visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and join that Black Rifle Coffee Club today. Get 30% off your first month with code Dana. Save money on high quality coffee roasted right here in the US of A. blackriflecoffee.com/Dana.
Here's my message to Senator Schumer. The American people are running the show here. We're the representatives of our constituents. The American people are on our side. They recognize this catastrophe has been disastrous for the country. Every state is a border state, and everybody knows it. I've been traveling the country, Laura, since I became Speaker of the House. I've been in 15 different states doing events. It doesn't matter whether I'm out west, in the Midwest, on Long Island, the Deep South, South Florida. The message is the same. It's the number one issue on the hearts and minds of the American people. We have to solve this crisis. And I'm going to make this point again, because Senator Schumer isn't listening, apparently. The President of the United States has the authority right now to fix this crisis. He has.
And the President is going to be speaking soon. He's going to make his border bill remarks here, and we are going to carry that just so we know what he says, and we can react to it and break it down for you, because he's trying to push Republicans, particularly in the House, into supporting this hot mess of a bill, which we have been dismantling today and yesterday even. Welcome back to the program. Top of the second hour. Dana Lash here with you. You can listen coast to coast. Join the conversation over at YouTube. Find us on Facebook, Channel 347, the video portion of the radio show, 347 Channel DirecTV. Now, as I said, he's an hour late now?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, it was supposed to be the first hour. He's going to be speaking. We're carrying it because it's news, and I want to know what he says, don't you? You want to know what the guy says. You want to know how he's going to try to needle Republicans into supporting this bill. And again, just to recap, last hour for those just joining, and you can find the deeper dive on this on our podcast archives, but Border Patrol came out and they endorsed the bill. Border Patrol Union, the members are in uproar. Now, don't get mad at Border Patrol because they're desperate and they've been put in a hard situation. They only specifically weighed in and endorsed the, was like four or five pages, the 370-page thing, border security aspect, because they think that a little extra authority or improvement takes away from the other bad stuff of the bill. In fact, that Actually, they're not even looking at the other bad stuff in the bill. It's a border union, and a union is concerned with conditions for its workers, pay for its workers, you know, the welfare of its workers. That's it. That's all they're doing. And so those three things, that's the entire lens through which they're looking at this. So you can't get mad at the Border Patrol union because they're doing their job. Brandon Judd's doing his job. I mean, we look at this because we can't just, we don't have the ability to just look at pieces of this and say, okay, well, we endorse it just on this piece alone. The whole damn thing's bad. To that point, the most dangerous aspect of this is the usurpation of essential, for the lack of a better way to put it, local control. So you're taking the ability of these circuit courts. Everything is going to be determined in the leftist D.C. district. Alejandro Mayorkas gets final and ultimate, only sole decision over asylum claims. He and he alone. It is entirely a discretionary thing whether or not an emergency is considered or not for them to temporarily close or whatever the border. It's never really closed. But the 5,000 per day encounters, all that stuff. I mean, that's all insane. That's a non-starter. We shouldn't even be negotiating. When they say, oh, well, the amendment process, you're going to kill it before the amendment process. That's phrasing for negotiation. I don't start a negotiation from that bad of a position. As someone who negotiates contracts, I'm going to tell you, I get a bad contract and it is nowhere near what I want. I send it right back and I don't even entertain the idea or even give people the idea that I've read the whole thing to completion. I see one non-starter and we are done. That's it. This is, for the American people, a non-starter. And there's tons of these things in here. Tons of these things in here. You also see Texas stripped. Like I said, this gets into what I'm talking about. Because the provision, now 212 is the page of the bill that gets into the encounters and how many people a day, all that stuff. It's like page 220, 220 through 220 through 223 gets into the provision about the any challenges, any decisions has to be made in the leftist D.C. District Court, which is out-lefting the Ninth Circuit, if you can believe it. And for instance, Texas, which has been challenging a lot of these proposals and provisions of previous legislation in local federal court, it would strip from Texas, from any state really, but using Texas as an example, it would strip from the states their ability to challenge any of this. And that specifically is on page 221 of the bill. And I'm scrolling to that right now. It's up. You got this. If you get the email, newsletter of prep over at Substack, this was one of the first links in there, so you can read through it for yourself. And if you're hard pressed for time, control F and just blast your way through it. But on page, because it gets into 221 transition rules, et cetera, to starts with judicial review. Here's the text. It gets into the judicial review of any decision or action applying the border emergency authority shall be governed only by this subsection as follows. Now, they get into the this is legalese about blah, 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 individual alien claims. The subsection 2, the United States District Court for the District of Columbia shall have sole and original jurisdiction to hear challenges. That's all you need to know. They add whether constitutional or otherwise. They have the sole and original jurisdiction. And on top of it, that any written policy directive, written policy guideline, written procedure or implementation thereof that is issued by the authority of the secretary to implement this section. That is one of the most dangerous things in this bill, if not the most dangerous thing in this bill. So, for instance, the lawsuit that Texas has been filing or that you've seen other states file, they would bar their ability to do that. You could not have any kind of everything would have to be D.C. district. That's insane. And they purposefully did that because the D.C. district is a very far left court. A very far left court. I mean, this is wild. So that alone, that's what's bad. See, you don't have the responsibility of only considering Border Patrol workers as a union. You have to consider stuff like this. I mean, and the idea that it's better than the status quo, that argument is basically, that argument stating that, well, the little tiny sliver in here greatly outweighs all of the horrible bad stuff. If you believe that, I mean, you're lost. to any kind of persuasion to sense. It's bad. Here's the other thing that it does. Only parts of the border could be temporarily closed, and the encounters do translate to admittances. The secretary, and this is section 244, may shut down the border if crossings, it goes back to page 212, 4,000 daily average, blah, blah, blah. Here's the other issue with it. The alien minors, so children that are brought over by adults, are not counted. They don't. So they're immediately expedited and put into a whole different other category. So that's like with the Flores settlement. The Flores agreement, that was the agreement that said if you're coming over with a kid, you're going to get fast-tracked. And that gave rise to an explosion in child trafficking. And that then led to, and this was all under Barack Obama when he was president, with Joe Biden as vice president, that's when they started separating the families at the border, because they would have like entire groups of dudes come over with like little girls. That's not a lie. Like you would literally have like a group of, you know, six or seven men, grown men, come over with like a little 6 or 7 year old girl. And then come to find out she wasn't related to none of them. I mean, this is like one example of tons of examples. So they had to separate kids so that they could figure out, make sure these kids weren't being abused, because guess what? They discovered some of them were. I shared with you on social media yesterday. Actually, you also got this in your prep, for those of you who signed on to the prep. I also shared with you that it was a flashback piece. Pull this up from the New York Times. It was one of the actual times that the New York Times did good reporting, and it got into this specific problem that was caused by the Flores agreement and how thousands of children have gone missing, and that this is going to kickstart it into gear. Remember, Xavier Becerra, who was the AG of California, now took over Health and Human Services. He runs all of the NGOs that are partnering with this. So that's his involvement. And he was the one who was caught on video saying, quote, he was mad that the NGOs weren't processing the kids fast enough. And he was asking why they would not discharge children with machine-like efficiency. This is per the New York Times piece. Becerra said in a recording, quote, if Henry Ford had seen this in his plants, he would have never become famous and rich. This is not the way you do an assembly line. End quote. And the New York Times piece noted that thousands and thousands of kids went missing because they were not given enough time by Becerra to properly vet them. So this is essentially the recreation of this re-implementation of the Flores agreement, which is going to fast track these kids. You're not going to have any of the protection, because this bill doesn't include any protections for this, by the way. There's no protections at all whatsoever for this. And again, that people go, well, you got to get to the amendment process. The fact that you would even have to propose that in an amendment process because it wasn't included in the original bill, to me, that says that you're negotiating with people so damn stupid that they're too damn stupid to even negotiate in good faith, much less recognize what that is. You're not going to get anything out of this. There's no way to polish this turd, folks. Not going to happen. Too many non-starters. You're looking at almost, $1.5 billion for more NGOs that have been facilitating this human trafficking. And that's bad. That's so bad. And then it does the chain migration, too. I mean, there's so much in here that's so bad. It doesn't actually do anything. If you wanted to have a discussion about, how to fix the border, first thing you would do is you'd stop all of this federal funding to these slush funds to these human trafficking NGOs. That's number one. Number two, you'd turn off the taxpayer funded spigot to illegal aliens. You wouldn't be handing them all this stuff for free. We have the president who's speaking now. We're going to take some of this right up until we come up to our hard break, and then we're going to rejoin it and play some choice parts for you. This is Biden speaking live right now, C-SPAN, from the on the border bill. Listen.
That's what they've done. Working around the clock through the holidays, over the weekends. It's been an extraordinary effort by Senators Lankford, Murphy, and Sinema. The result of all this hard work is a bipartisan agreement that represents the most fair, humane reforms in our immigration system in a long time, and the toughest set of reforms to secure the border ever. Now, all indications are this bill won't even move forward to the Senate floor. Why? A simple reason. Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump thinks it's bad for him politically. Therefore, he doesn't, even though it helps the country, he's not for it. He'd rather weaponize this issue than actually solve it. So for the last 24 hours, he's done nothing, I'm told, but reach out to Republicans in the House and the Senate and threaten them and try to intimidate them to vote against this proposal. And it looks like they're caving. Frankly, they owe it to the American people to show some spine and do what they know to be right. So I want to tell the American people what's in this bill and why everyone, from the Wall Street Journal to the Border Patrol to the Chamber of Commerce, the United States Chamber of Commerce, support this bill. Because it's going to make the country safer, make the border more secure, treat people more humanely and freely and fairly, and make legal immigration more efficient and consistent with the values of our nation and our international treaty obligations. It would finally provide the funding that I've repeatedly requested, most recently in October, to actually secure the border. That includes an additional 1,500 border agents and officers to secure the border, to physically secure it. In addition, 100 cutting-edge machines to detect and stop fentanyl at the southwest border. We have that capacity. An additional 100 additional immigration judges to help reduce the year-long asylum backlog. You show up for asylum, and the judge is supposed to talk to you. It takes a year to get that discussion going. This bill would also establish new, efficient, and fair process for the government to consider an asylum claim for those arriving at the border. Today, the process can take 5 to 7 years, as you all know. They show up at the border, get a bracelet, told them to come back when called, 5 to 7 years, now in country. That's too long, and it's not rational. With the new policies in this bill and the additional of 4,300 more asylum officers who spend hours, I might add, with each immigrant to consider their claims, whether they
We're up against a hard break. We're going to rejoin this here momentarily.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
We're going to rejoin the president, of course, the most awkward time in the hour for us, but we're going to rejoin his press conference in progress live now.
Who do they serve? Donald Trump or the American people? Are they here to solve problems or just weaponize those problems for political purposes? I know my answer. I serve the American people. I'm here to solve problems. It was just months ago that Republicans were asking for this exact bill to deal with the border, to provide support for Ukraine and Israel. And now it's here. And they're saying, never mind, never mind. Folks, we've got to move past this toxic politics. It's time to stop playing games with the world waiting and watching. And by the way, the world is waiting. The world is watching. They are waiting and watching what we're going to do. We can't continue to let petty partisan politics get in the way of our responsibility. We're a great nation. It's not acting like a great nation. So I'm calling on Congress to pass this bill. Get it to my desk immediately. But if the bill fails, I want to be absolutely clear about something. The American people are going to know why it failed. I'll be taking this issue to the country. And the voters are going
we're
to
we're up against a hard break. We're going to break this down here as after we return just in minutes. Stick with us. We're going to fisk this speech next.
Elevate your commute, workouts, or downtime with the Dana Show podcast. Unleash the power of knowledge at your fingertips by following Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This indirectly has a lot to do with the hostage deal and what's going on in the Middle East. The decision on what we do relative to Israel, the decision what we do in terms of American funding, of whether we're going to engage with the situation in Ukraine. It all goes to the question of American power. It all goes to, does America keep its word? Does America move forward? There is some movement
And I don't want to. Well, maybe choose my words. There's some movement. There's been a response from there's been a response from the opposition, but yes, I'm sorry, from Hamas, but it seems to be a little over the top. We're not sure where it is. There's a continuing negotiation.
That was part of his speech. Welcome back to the program, Dana Lasher with you. He also only was going to take a few questions, and then I think he only took a couple. And then he said, oh, "I'll be back. I'll be back to take your questions on Thursday." Isn't that what he said? That's like how he put it. Welcome back to the show. Bottom of the second hour here, Dana Lash with you. This is how he started it out, though. Like, how far did he get in the speech? Came before he was like, "But my Trump."
Oh, like almost immediately.
Like the first, yeah. Juan's got it. Like the first, like second. Listen to this. Okay, I thought we had it. Well, he has this. As soon as we can get that, we'll get it up for you. Because that immediately was, he immediately came in with it. All right, let's move. Kind of gets into the whole Langford thing. Do we have it now? Okay.
Yeah, I have it.
All right, let's, if
why?
We.
Why? A simple reason. Donald Trump. Because Donald Trump thinks it's bad for him politically. Therefore, he doesn't, even though it helps the country, he's not for it.
So I don't understand why he's blaming Trump. Trump endorsed James Langford, the guy who wrote the damn thing. He endorsed him. Whether that makes you mad or not is entirely irrelevant and inconsequential to the reality that he endorsed Langford. He endorsed the guy who wrote it. And when Trump was president, I mean, good grief, they were entertaining the whole Paul Ryan amnesty bill. So for Biden to come out and say that is kind of disingenuous. Now, I think that Trump and every other Republican now are saying this bill is not good, but it's because it's a bad bill. And it would also make it impossible for other administrations in the future to do anything about the border, because it just reallocates power. I mean, it's a mess. So I mean, what did we glean from his remarks here? He's saying that it's going to affect everything that we do related to Taiwan or Israel or Ukraine. I don't want to send Ukraine any more funding. I'm tired of it. I am so tired of it because we don't know where it's going. It's a foreign land dispute. That doesn't mean that I like Russia. I still think that Russia is a defeated, desiccated geopolitical foe. But if they were powerful enough to step up to NATO, like all these warmongers are saying, they would have been able to easily steamroll through Ukraine. And guess what? They didn't. It didn't happen. Ukraine has a disorganized fighting force that is less trained. And yet they still were able to repel Russia. So I'm not buying this from these warmongers who know less about this area than a lot of us who like to read about it for hobbies. It's just stupid. It's big con, neocon, Inc. BS. And they try to gaslight you into saying that you don't care about national security because you don't want to send your kids off to die in a war while their kids get cushy think tank jobs and they get purchased for them congressional seats in Texas's 26th district. But that's a different discussion. So, that being said, this bill, John Cornyn came out against it. John Cornyn. That's one of McConnell's BFFs, but that signals where McConnell is on this. They're just hanging out Langford to dry, hanging him out to dry. Barrasso came out. He's number three. He says, I can't vote for this bill. Cornyn said he had serious concerns. I don't think that any negotiation, because they had apparently negotiations last night, and the word going around was that they were screaming and yelling at each other behind closed doors meeting. And I don't think it was that negotiation that, you know, ran off any senator. I think that they saw the reaction from people to this bill, that's what did it. I mean, you literally get nothing out of this bill. Republicans don't get a single damn thing out of this bill. And by Republicans, I mean people who want the border to just not be a hot mess. There's nothing out of this. There's nothing that they get out of this bill. Nothing. It is, you don't have to have a new law that allows you to enforce and execute the laws that are in place already. There's no new law that's going to allow you to execute the law in place already. There's and this idea that he came out, he says, oh, well, we're going to hire all these new agents. Guess what? The new agents aren't going to be detaining, and they're not going to be doing anything except paperwork. That's all they're going to do. They're just going to be able to do paperwork. That's not going to, they're not going to be catching anybody out there. That's a, and they're misleading you to think otherwise. So they walked into this. It was a trap, and they're trying to blame. That's their narrative. They want to blame Republicans so that they can wash their hands of any culpability with the border. And Republicans walked into it. And now Republicans are going to be, they're going to be pressured into changing their opposition to support because they're being blamed for it. I mean, it's really stellar maneuvering by Democrats, but it's not anything new. They did this with health care. They've done this with government shutdowns. And you know what? The last time that Republicans, and this was in 2012, Republicans, or sorry, 2010, Republicans stood against this narrative and they ended up taking in a huge margin the majority in the House during midterms. Republicans need to hold the line and they need to be on the same page with messaging. And that's a little difficult to do when you got people out here defending this bill. A lot difficult to do. And so, because it is, it's a mess. This thing's a mess. Democrats are getting, they are trying to get Republicans to be the fall guys so that they can get themselves off the hook for this. Because this was an issue, one of several. But this was a major issue that was making it to where it was actually hurting them really badly in the polls. It was hurting them really bad in the polls. And now they've got Republicans doing the, being the fall guy for them. It's a really something else. And so his speech, well, this is Trump. Johnson already said that Trump isn't calling the shots on this. And I think honestly, and again, this isn't a statement on Trump. I need people to stop being so damn tribal because that doesn't help us. It's just mind numbingly ridiculous. It's irrelevant. Trump only weighed in this in like the last second. So to say that Trump's calling the shots on this is stupid. This is the American people reacting to this, because to say that it's just Trump calling the shots, what they're saying is that you're too stupid to actually do your own critical thinking and that you have to be told by a politician. That's what they're telling you. It's a double insult. They're saying that, oh, it's Trump and extreme MAGA, and it's Trump that's calling the shots on all of this. What they're saying is the American people are illiterate and they're too stupid to read this publicly available bill that's online in the form of a PDF, and it's 370 pages long and you can read it in one evening. Unless you're Brandon Johnson, who's the mayor of Chicago, and it's because he's got a wife, and not just any wife, but a black wife, and kids, and not just any kids, but black kids. For some reason, that counts. So unless you're Brandon Johnson, you know, this thing is a mess. It is a mess. They should have went with HR 2, Chip Roy's thing. That's what we were talking about yesterday with Congressman Roy. Because all of the good stuff that we had in HR 2, this thing doesn't do any of it. We don't have mass, it doesn't end mass release. It doesn't end catch and release. It doesn't, it encourages the parole abuses while trying to make it, they say they're trying to make it orderly, but it's just paroling people in. And it doesn't raise the credible fear standard, because you get unprecedented power given to asylum officers that are at Mayorkas's direction. And so Mayorkas can tell them to rubber stamp all asylum claims. And you have to, a credible fear is a requirement in order to be considered an asylee. That's a requirement. And that's the standard. And that's being struck from this. I mean, we're billions of dollars more into NGOs. It strips states of power to be able to challenge this and temper the authority, actions of the White House. And it gives all the power to a leftist D.C. district court that is more radical than the Ninth Circuit. And it keeps open loopholes like the mandates of catch and release of family units. You get immediate work permits for people who come into the country illegally and then are released. They're briefly detained and then released. They immediately get work permits. And it just green lights permits for all these kids of H-1B visa holders. So they don't have to demonstrate merit themselves. It's chain migration. They don't have to demonstrate by themselves any merit. They just can say, oh, I'm the child of this person, and they get greenlit in immediately. That's what this bill does. It not only reaffirms it, but it exponentially expands it. And it only spends a pittance on the border. None of it has to go through to securing the border. It's all on people to do paperwork. Not even specially trained individuals, just people to help with processing, to get people in and process them faster. You cannot get to the negotiation process because, and I hear that from so many people, and this is the top talking point from a lot of these Republicans who are going to want to argue with you. They're trying to tell you that you're unreasonable because you're trying to kill this before the amendment process, and bills have to at least get, you know, they have to go through this process. That's a lie, because everything in this is a non-starter. There is no way to negotiate from the, you're not going to get much. You're not going to get anything. You are already at the worst possible position you could be in as the start, as the origin point for negotiation on this. You are already at the worst point. There is nowhere else to go. You are being baited, and these other Republicans are aiding it, and they are helping Democrats snatch this victory from Republicans. And then they're going to create this problem. They created this problem for themselves because they walked right into it. And then they're going to say, well, we're going to have to accept it because it's going to hurt us. We're losing. Do not let them do this. So like I said, Border Patrol can like this one part of it. And that's fine because Border Patrol only has to care about the pay, conditions, and welfare of its workers. But we, who are not members of Border Patrol Union, have to care about the pay that we get to put roofs over our heads, our living conditions, not just for ourselves, but our children and our community. And we also have to care about our conditions and everything else. We have to care about our tax dollars. We have to care about the security of this country. We have to care about where our money is going to foreign countries. We also have to care about our state sovereignty and our ability to be able to temper runaway power in D.C. by challenging it in local federal court. And that is all being stripped from us in this bill and moved to a far left district D.C. court. So, no, there is no negotiation. The whole thing is a non-starter.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
So I mentioned this the other day, but I have to share it. So a Florida sugar heir assaulted his girlfriend because he got mad after sitting next to a gay couple at a restaurant. The guy was arrested over allegations that he assaulted his girlfriend after returning home from a steakhouse where he was angry about being seated next to gay people. This comes from Palm Beach. Apparently, and this is the end of January, a woman was screaming. Police officers were called. They found Alexander Fanuel standing over a female subject. She was on the defensive floor in a fetal position. She was bleeding. Her face was bleeding. Apparently it's the raw cane sugar in the U.S. He was apparently frustrated because they were sat next to they sat next to a gay couple at Flager Steakhouse. And when she asked him to move on from the incident because he was upset about sitting next to a gay couple, he punched her and they got up. I'm just going to say, seems kind of gay to hit your girlfriend because you're mad about sitting next to some gay dudes. I'm just saying. So, I mean, he's free on like a six-figure bond. And now I bet he's got a TRO, which is going to make him a prohibited possessor. Dude, nobody needs to be doing that. Come on. Let's not. A naked Florida man was spotted running down a highway. It's a Sunday morning in Florida. Okaloosa County Sheriff's Office says the man, who hasn't been identified, he was just in his 30s. He was found by a deputy on Highway 98 and about 40 miles east of Pensacola. They got calls from witnesses who said, there's a naked dude running down Highway 98. Come get him. He appeared to clearly be under the influence of narcotics. He was taken to a local hospital and destined for evaluation, and he was charged with indecent exposure. Naked running at a highway at night. There are a lot of things that could happen there. That's just, that's bad. Let's see. A couple of other, oh no, I don't want to. This has to do with a guy who stole $100,000 from an unlocked armored truck. Why would you have your armored truck unlocked? Right. Where anybody in, like this guy in Pasco County, just stole it. 37-year-old Stefan Carew parked a white van next to an armored truck at a Circle K. And then just went to the truck all casually, like, opened the unlocked door and took money bags out. And he prepaid for $30 of fuel inside the store before he left, according to the affidavit. They had surveillance cameras and all that. And then he made a pawn transaction where they were able to locate his vehicle through that transaction. So they didn't say what charges he's facing. Apparently, they're looking for him. They don't have him totally in custody yet, apparently. But yeah, to just casually walk over, open the door. I mean, those armored trucks, you always assume that they've got like armed security and all this stuff. I mean, they got money bags, like Monopoly money bags sitting in the back. This guy could just walk over and take them out. That's insane. Good heavens. All right, coming up, the border battle. And also, we got to talk about some cultural stuff. Wait until you hear the story about this lady who's been banned from going to football games from Premier League because they don't like her views on how women exist. Stay with us.
And here's the only area of the law that I think of should be examined, and I made it clear. You repeatedly commit felonies, dangerous crimes. If you're found guilty, you should not be in our city. That's what I believe. And ICE can execute warrants. ICE can have a role here. You know, they can. No one is stopping ICE from doing their job. They have a job to do when you deal with dangerous people.
Dude,
you
may want to talk to Alvin Bragg about that. That's Eric Adams saying nobody's stopping ICE from doing their job. Dude, they stopped cooperating with ICE. Literally, New York City stopped cooperating with ICE. That's a story. That happened. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, top of this third hour. Now, that's true. They had their city sanctuary policies, and that's the entire reason why they had these repeat offenders like this who are in the country illegally are allowed to roam free. I mean, let's go back to the story, January of 2020. They had a 92-year-old woman that was murdered. And she was murdered by an individual who was in the country illegally. And the New York Department of Corrections was criticized because they refused to cooperate with ICE. This is from CNN, you know, a big, giant conservative entity, CNN. They had refused to cooperate with ICE. There was a Guyanese national, 21 years old, who had previously been released from custody in November, despite the fact that ICE lodged a detainer against him, meaning ICE, the detainer is something that Immigration and Customs Enforcement it's a request for local law enforcement to keep people who are in the country illegally in custody for up to 48 hours so that they can be transferred into federal custody by ICE. And New York City refused to do it. They let the guy go and he went and murdered a 92-year-old woman. I mean, we could go on and on. There's all kinds of stuff. Maria Fuertes. She was beaten to death and left on the street unconscious. She was knocked to the ground and he stomped on her head. Oh, and then he sexually assaulted her. 92-year-old woman. This is just one of, we could sit here for the rest of the hour. You wouldn't do it. All kinds of stories where New York refused to cooperate with ICE. And they actually made it illegal to threaten to report someone's immigration status in New York. That is in October of 2021. They made it illegal to threaten to report someone to ICE who is in the country illegally. So even if you were in New York and they were in illegally, you couldn't say you were going to report them to ICE. There was a law that was literally signed into effect by Bill de Blasio that officially limited the relationship between New York City law enforcement and ICE. That has not been rescinded, by the way. It's been in effect since 2014. So I don't know what the hell Eric Adams is talking about, because that is categorically false. His own damn office has been stopping ICE from doing its job. And Alvin Bragg has been pushing it the whole time. The whole time. Now, this comes back to this story. And this is, by the way, this is ABC 7 in New York. Of these, the beating of these two law enforcement officers in Times Square at the hands of these illegal immigrants. And how the DA's office had declined to bring charges initially until they got a lot of heat. And he was defending the decision. They have relied on that the whole time. They could have, they really should have been taken into custody immediately in a bail set, but they didn't do it. In fact, Chief Patrol of NYPD said it was a bail eligible offense. And they didn't do it. And they don't work with ICE. So Eric Adams apparently he don't know what the hell's going on in his own city. Because that had been signed into law and it's been in effect since 2014. The reduction in cooperation, a drastic decrease in cooperation between ICE and the New York law enforcement. I mean, it is something else. So they were absolutely stopped from doing their job. And that's not just in New York. That's in a ton of other cities. In California. What is that? That one young lady that was killed by the, what was it? Kate Steinle, was that her name? They refused to work with ICE. That was a guy. In fact, in California, they refused 5,600 ICE detainer requests from the feds. And that was in, what, 1 year? That's crazy. They declined tons of ICE detainer requests. Tons of them. Do you remember the story? Let me bring this up. The young man that was killed. He was an athlete. Jamil Shah. I first talked about this. And actually first, back in 2015, brought it up to the Trump campaign. That's how they knew him. Where you had Jamil Shah, 17 years old. He was lived in L.A. His mother's active duty military, was active duty military at the time. And Jamil Shah Jr., 17, he was walking home from football practice. And he was a star athlete. We had his dad, Jamil Shah Sr., on the show before. And, I mean, just a star athlete, star student. He was the running back for Los Angeles High School. He was the Southern League's most valuable player in 2007. Rutgers was looking at him. His mother, Army Sergeant Anita Shaw, she was on her second tour of duty in Iraq, so active duty. And Jamil Shaw Jr. was walking home. He was about three doors away from getting to his house. And he was on the cell phone. He was on his phone with his girlfriend. And his dad had told him, you know, hurry up and get home. So he was walking home. He was on the phone with his girlfriend. And apparently a group of illegal immigrants pulled up in a car, jumped out, asked Jamil Shah, according to the LA Times, if he belonged to a gang. And when he didn't answer, they shot and killed him and left him dead on the street. He was not affiliated with a gang. And the crazy thing is that Jamil Shah Sr. had heard the shots. And he came out. And he found his son. One of those individuals was an ICE detainer request denied, by the way. I don't know if y'all knew that. So when people say that ICE could do their jobs, they're literally being blocked by these sanctuary states and cities doing their jobs. Democrats didn't want to pay attention to Jamil Shah Jr. Maybe because he was a black teenager. And black lives only matter to the left when they can exploit them or they can use activists to burn down historically black neighborhoods. That's the only time the media cares about black lives. Remember how they got real mad at me in 2018 when I got up on national television and I said the media loves mass shootings? Because they do. They don't care, though, about what happens to black youth in Chicago. And they sure as hell don't care what happens to black youth in L.A. They don't at all. They only want to be able to use white lives and talk about that as for fear mongering. They don't really. And that's why I think they're adverse to all lives matter, too, because all lives really don't matter to them. If we're being honest. And I'm just assuming this by everything that they've reported over a 30-year period. You didn't hear anything. Jamil Shaw Sr.'s never been on CNN. He's never been on MSNBC. Man's heartbroken. His namesake, his only son. Star athlete. I mean, this kid was All-American. Good student. Great athlete. Son of an active duty soldier. His life was snuffed out by people who were in the country illegally, and one of them was an ICE detainer request denied. You go back over this and you wonder how many of these stories we got to tell. All this blood is on the hands of this administration. All these kids that have gone missing, that New York Times piece that we were telling you about, all these kids that have gone missing, you realize you're talking about 88,000 kids that have been drugged through God knows what, pushed across the southern border by the cartels. Their fast track process because Xavier Becerra just wants a number. He doesn't care about welfare. And then they disappear. Some of them disappear. They said an inordinate amount go to the same area and they can't find them. They found a bunch of them in some factories. U.S. Chamber of Commerce comes out. Oh, we like this bill because U.S. Chamber of Commerce likes cheap labor. They like keeping people and denying them the all-American ability to increase their status in life. That's why I want to come back to this thing right here. This is, where's the one where they're talking about the American dream? Oh, audio soundbite 7. Let's hear more from Adams on this, and let's take this apart, too.
I strongly believe that the overwhelming number of the 175,000 up to about, they're here trying to take the next step in the American dream. And I see them, I speak with them. I think they come from the rich tradition of those who come from immigrant backgrounds, who contribute to the society and the tax base. If there ever was a time we realized the importance of our immigrant population, I think it was during COVID. I saw them out delivering for New Yorkers. They could not shelter in place. They did the job that caused them to be in.
This is such a ridiculous soundbite. It is such a ridiculous soundbite. This piece in the New York Times gets into this story. These are some of the kids that were drug up, not because they wanted to. They were either used as child trafficking under the Flores Agreement. They were drug up somehow. Listen to this. You tell me if this sounds like the American dream. A 15-year-old girl named Carolina. She did not willfully come up. She was brought up. She was trafficked up. She's fast-tracked through Joe Biden's NGO partnership, the trafficking organization, and she works in a Cheerios factory overnight. Every 10 seconds, she stuffs a sealed plastic bag of cereal, according to the New York Times, into the passing yellow carton. She says sometimes she's tired, she doesn't feel sick. She works every hour she can work. They have 12-year-old roofers in Florida and Tennessee. They have slaughterhouse workers. This is true. That's all true. This is like one of the, an actually good story New York Times wrote. Health and Human Services promises that they check on these minors, and then they don't. They lost over 85,000 children. That number's up to 88,000 children as of last month. They don't have any contact with a third of the illegal immigrant children that were dragged in, not of their own choice. These are not kids. These are actually like, you're talking under 14, guys. I'm not talking about 18-year-olds. I'm talking about kids. Does that sound like the American dream? When you hear somebody like Eric Adams speak from his seat of privilege and he talks about the American dream, is that what the American dream sounds like? What the hell are they selling people? Yeah, come illegally to the United States where you get to live a second-class life in the shadows and you get to pick our fruit, like Jerry Nadler said. That's what these Marxists advertise as the American dream. It is anti-American. That is not what E Pluribus Unum means. And it is shameful that they present this as legitimate. We have more on the way.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
I had no idea that Toby Keith had stomach cancer, but he did. He passed away while battling stomach cancer, age 62 years old. It was announced today. He passed yesterday, surrounded by his family, according to a statement. He announced over the summer in 22 that he had been diagnosed and was being treated, and he was losing some weight. The last performance was 4 months ago at the People's Choice Awards. But him and his wife were married 39 years. Prayers for their family. This is interesting. Facebook and Instagram are now going to start labeling images, AI images, all AI images on their platforms as being created by AI. That's what Meta has said. They said that because of the elections being taken, you know, elections around the world, the use of AI images is going to become more adversarial in the years to come. So they said that to help clarify between the blurred lines of human and synthetic content, that they're going to label AI images as such on its platform. Now, apparently they've already been placing imagined with AI labels on photorealistic images that they use with its own Meta AI feature, but they said that they're now going to use industry-leading tools to identify invisible markers on these images, and they're going to label all of them. Actually, I'm not against that, and they've chose to do it themselves. Struggling Bud Light has unveiled their Bud Light Genie character. This is also going to be in their $7 million Super Bowl commercial. It includes cameos by Peyton Manning, Post Malone, and even Dana White. But nobody, all they got to do is apologize. That's all they got to do. But hell no, they're not going to do that. Screw them women. All right, well then screw that beer. Let's see. Sitting all day at work boosts the risk of early death by 16%. Yeah, you need to actually get up. Therapists are trading the couch for the great outdoors. You need to go out and touch grass. Oh, and this seems obvious enough. You can fight existing signs of dementia with a healthy lifestyle. Get out and exercise, touch grass, and get outdoors. All these things are good. We have a lot more on the way. Stick with us as we roll into the bottom of this third hour.
Ready to grow your intellectual Rolodex? Download the Dana Show podcast and join the ranks of those who refuse to settle for the same old boring content on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, in American society, we organize our social supports by family, by so-called traditional nuclear family even. And this is actually a social construct. It's not as if the natural order of things for all of humanity has been, you know, one mommy and one daddy and just their biological children living in a detached house and only providing for those children. I had a disagreement with a gentleman recently about education policy based around this issue. Right, where he said that he really believes that
I love that people. This is one of the reasons why I can't. I'm not going to make it through this lady. I was going to really give it a really good effort, and I can't do it. This is some sort of Colorado state representative who doesn't believe in the nuclear family. This kind of stuff. That's why I hate recording videos of myself and posting it on social, because I'm recording a video, literally holding my hand out, looking at my phone, talking to my phone, and it's weird, and it feels insufferably self-aggrandizing. And this woman's laying down on her sofa, like the worst position you could, you know, I mean, you look ridiculous, and trying to lecture you about like gobbledygook. That's exactly what it is. She says she's non-binary. So you have binary and non-binary then. You moron, that's non-binary. What is wrong with you? Welcome back to the show. Bottom of this third hour, Dana Lash here with you. So this brings me to this story. I don't know what, this is how bad Britain is. So here's the headline. Football fan, meaning soccer fan over there, banned from matches until 2026 because the Premier League conducted a 4-month Stasi-esque probe into her social media posts where she criticized transgender ideology. Her name is Lindsay Smith. She supports Newcastle United. An actual special unit set there's a special unit that's set up in their law enforcement, literally to look at racism and bad think on social media. She was on Twitter, now known as X, and she expressed opinions on trans ideology. And I was reading the screenshots of what she put. She didn't put up anything She goes, you realize the trans ideology is based off a Nazi, right? She's not wrong. And she talks about how women do exist, etc. She doesn't say anything that's like, you know, ridiculous. But this is how insane this got. So she's 34 years old. So she was visited and interviewed by police who were handed a dossier, an 11-page dossier of her remarks, her opinions on Twitter. It was literally compiled by the Premier League. It had details on where she lives, details on where she works, details on where and when she walks her dog. Now, she was interviewed by police. The dossier was handed to them by Premier League and Newcastle United. Police visited her, and it took them 2 hours to make the determination that she did not commit a crime, which would have been a quote-unquote breach of the Equality Act, because she had opinions. They literally had a pamphlet or a book of a dossier that had their logo on the front, and then it had Lindsay Smith, online investigation and target profile. But even though it was determined that she did not break any laws, they still revoked her membership and they banned her from coming to all games until 2026. And she says that Premier League's actions were a breach of data protection laws. Now, just let me tell you about Lindsay Smith here for a moment. They had, first off, they had taxpayers that paid for a law enforcement unit to comb through all of her comments that she's ever made online. Now, she is a woman who is 34 years old, and she is gay. She is as gay as the day is long. She's a lesbian, gay, and bisexual rights advocate. So they targeted a gay woman because she believes women exist, and she was critical of the trans activism and trans ideology. An actual soccer league, a football league, literally investigated her using taxpayer-funded police work, and they collected all of her tweets and all of her social media, you know, observances, and banned her. And she goes, they behave like the Stasi. She's 1,000% right. It was done so quick. She said she didn't even know it was happening. She didn't know it was happening until they showed up with a dossier on her. She said to the Telegraph, quote, I'm struggling to believe this happened to me. It's mind-blowing that they've gone to such lengths because I express views to which I'm entitled on my personal Twitter account. She says she lives 10 minutes away, apparently, from the pitch. And so she's like, it's hard. They took screenshots from her social media account where she had said that she thought that transgenderism was mental illness. And Newcastle United emailed her and said, we told on you to the Northumbria police for hate crimes and we suspended your membership. Now, she apparently has never done anything to offend anybody during a match, inside the stadium, outside the stadium, involving the club or even related to the club. So she got visited by two police officers at her home and they interviewed her for 25 minutes. They investigated for 2 hours. She got a call later saying no further action would be taken. She had not committed any offense. But she appealed her ban. She was told on January 26th that it was upheld because the Premier League says that her tweets, quote, constitute harassment and go against the club's equality policy. So where is the equality for her? If trans ideology can say that women is a societal construct or that women essentially don't exist, well, then where is the protection for her to say, no, it's not? How is this equality when the only one side of the debate is actually protected? She's not allowed to say that, no, in fact, women do exist, and I disagree with your positions here. She's not saying anything hateful. In fact, there are tons of peer-reviewed papers published in scientific journals that get into how transgenderism, many in the scientific and medical community believe it is an absolute mental issue. I agree with them. I think it's body dysmorphia. And I just think some people, it's not at all. I think some people just want to do it for attention because they can't get anywhere in life being just regularly themselves. So they have to find some kind of issue, and this is what they choose to leverage themselves. It's true, and you know it. They think it makes them special-er. But she's banned until 2026. Now, consider this. Imagine, you know, you're a friend of, or a fan of the Kansas City Chiefs. And you say that women exist and you believe that that the trans stuff is just mental illness. And the Kansas City Chiefs work with the police and they compile a dossier on you. They investigate you for months. They take screenshots of everything you've ever said online. And then you have the police show up to your home and they investigate you because they don't like your opinions. And then you're banned from all Kansas City Chiefs games until 2026. Imagine that's the equivalent of this. That's the exact same. Don't think that, well, you know, Britain, they don't have free speech laws. True, but we're almost to that point here. People have been fired for this. People have been fired over this stuff here in the United States. People have lost opportunities and scholarships over this stuff here in the United States. People have been abused and berated and misogynistically so here in the United States over this. So, not only can it happen here, it is happening here. We're just one level under police showing up at someone's house and saying, well, we didn't like your opinions on the man who's selling beer. Now, do you see why that apology is so important? The recognition of an offense that is more than just a marketing error. They were helping to codify this in the status quo. That's why the apology is so important. I don't care who they trot out in their commercials. Still ain't going to drink that pee water. Not going to do it. Never going to happen. But I can't. And the fact that this, I mean, she's a lesbian. I mean, she's not like a Morgan. What's that lady's name who is a lesbian? She's alive still. Morgan Fairchild. She's like the lipstick lesbian. She's not even like the lipstick Morgan Fairchild type lesbian. I mean, she's a woman. She's, you know, she's like a landscaper, softball player lesbian. My point in saying that isn't, I'm not mocking her. I'm saying, wait, I thought no one's protected anymore. I mean, I thought that lesbians were protected. They're not protected anymore. So you're telling me that a dude cosplayed as a woman engenders more sympathy and demand for special treatment than the female? Are you kidding me? If you wanted a definition of patriarchy, there you go right there. This is wild. Now, some people go out and say, well, Dana, you know what? This is all just the left. Let them devour each other. Ah, but you missed the goal, my friend. What is the goal? What is the goal ultimately? Wouldn't you like to persuade people to join your efforts so that you have strength in numbers and you can actually win at things? Is that not the goal? Because if that's not the goal, then why do it? What's the purpose of doing any of it? If the goal isn't to shift things into movement of policy, if that isn't what the I don't know how you want to describe it, the process should be, then why do it at all? Self-aggrandizing is meaningless. Filleting one's ego is meaningless. If it's just to troll people, that's meaningless. All of that is irrelevant and none of it moves the needle. It's about persuading people because there are strength in numbers. See, coalitions operate by the 80-20 rule. The 80% friend is not the 20% enemy. Focus on accomplishing the 80% stuff, and then you can bicker over the 20% stuff. But we're not even at 8% of the 80% stuff, if I'm being honest. So you need as many people as possible as part of your coalition. This is what I'm talking about. If it's not to persuade to get momentum for your cause, then it is pointless and irrelevant, and you are simply just exercising your vanity. And we got a lot of people that do that. So to answer the question and to bring the tugboat to shore, yes, it does matter. I can't imagine. This is like that lady who, didn't she have the gay granny? And she told this one police officer that she looked like a lesbian, and the police officer, who apparently also was a lesbian, took great offense at it. Yep. And the mom was like, well, you do. I mean, okay. This is so goofy.
Follow Dana on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts, because knowledge is your ultimate superpower.
You set a standard of about 5,000, the cartels will go, ah, I get it. 4,999, you got it. We'll process those through. Your asylum officers will move them.
If it hit that average of 5,000, it would shut it down until they dropped by 75%. That's what's in here. But can I ask you, because you listed other things that it's in your Congressman.
What I'm telling you is the cartels would adapt.
They would adapt.
There would be 4,999.
I should note, the people who wrote this bill disagree with you. They say it would shut down the border right now, including Senator Sinema, who, as you know, is from Arizona. Right. But can I ask you, because
they don't know what they're talking about.
Though, Congressman, you know.
I mean, maybe like if you're going to present, this is what I can't stand. I don't think that she's one of the worst at CNN, but you don't throw out something as an editorial point when you're not asking questions and let that stand unchallenged with a guest, because then that becomes a debate. And then as the, you know, technically at that point, you're the interviewer, that which puts you in the position of the moderator. And that doesn't make sense, and it doesn't look genuine, and it doesn't look in good faith. And the people who wrote the bill, by the way, I don't care if they say that that doesn't happen. We are not illiterate. I mean, I've read the damn thing. It actually wouldn't shut it down immediately right now, because all of it is so vague. All you would have to do literally is just spread stuff out and reduce encounter numbers. That's it. And that's even stupid, because why does it have to get to 499, thousand? Why does it have to get that high and that much of a crisis before we go, oh, okay, well then at that point we'll suspend it? It should be after one. That's the whole point. Arguing over number is arbitrary and specious. Who gives a rat's ass? It's supposed to stop at one. Not five, not 100, not 200, not 1,000, not 5,000. One. That's it. All of this other stuff is arbitrary. They're dragging this into a debate over arbitrary stuff. If you have thousands of people coming across the border, it is not a controlled border. If you're having thousands of encounters a day, it is not a controlled border. That's why this is a non-starter. Because this is all just, this is all just semantics. The number should be one. That's it. The end. So I don't care what I don't care what Langford says. I don't care. I don't care. It should be one. Not 5,000. One. And until they recognize that, there's no good faith debate here. There's no negotiation process through amendments. There's none of this that's worthy of being had, because they're not interested in discussing this in good faith. So why should you give it your best effort and pursue it in good faith? Because only one side is pursuing a good faith negotiation. The rest of it is just a Victorian freak show designed to help Democrats in the election. That's it. That's all it is. So no, it's a garbage bill and it shouldn't go anywhere. The end. I mean, it's just, I don't see it going anywhere in the House, and it has to go. They have to accept it for it to happen. So it's, to me, it's DOA. All right, Kane, today in stupidity.
All right. It is KJP, Karine Jean-Pierre, spinner in chief for this administration. She, of course, is talking about these hostages that are still held by Hamas. These are American hostages, and watch how she tries to avoid saying American in American hostages. Listen to this.
We want to make sure we get those hostages home, including the American hostages. We understand are about six of them that are part of that, that are part of the folks who are still part of the hostages, I should be more clear, that are being held. We want to get them home. We want to make sure we get that all important.
These are American hostages. Do you not have a more clear, concise, strong message about this than that?
Because you would have to actually know more. You would have to know.
It's beyond stupidity. It's ignorance. And it's
so bad.
Dangerous.
Yeah. And folks, that does it for our program today. Make sure you find us on YouTube, Facebook, like and subscribe. And you can also find us over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Go sign up. Lots of good stuff comes out of there on the reg. And in the meantime, have a wonderful night. I'll be back with you tomorrow.